What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Min Kim. He is the co-founder of Icon coming on the channel. It was a great time. It was just like a really open, honest chat. You know, he kind of talked about the struggles and successes of running a blockchain business. He talked about, living in Korea, living in San Francisco, the adjustments back and forth. He talks about what Icon has done, what it's doing, what's to come. And then he talks about what he would change if he was the United States president for a day. We talk about a ton of stuff here. I had a great time. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and owns several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. And one last thing before we get into this, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, let's go check it out. I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Min Kim, the co-founder of Icon, with us, man. Thanks a bunch for taking the time for us. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So you're actually in San Francisco today. So, you know, a lot of people think of, you know, Icon, you know, being from Korea, but you've actually been in San Francisco for the past 20 years, man. That's pretty awesome, dude. So maybe give us a little bit of the background about yourself, you know, how you got into tech, finance, all that kind of cool stuff. And how you get to San Francisco?
I was born in Korea, but I actually moved over or immigrated to the U.S. when I was very young, at the age of 6. I grew up here all my life, mostly earlier days in L.A. I came up to San Francisco Bay Area for college. So I went to UC Berkeley, studied business. My first job out of college was an investment banking job with one of the bulge bracket banks. As we all know, crypto and blockchain is heavily fighting or competing against the traditional finance industry. So it's nice to know the experience of the both worlds. But I come from traditional finance. I jumped into the founder or entrepreneurial side space about 5 years after my banking job. All my life, I've been working in the tech industry. So even when I was in finance, all my clients were tech companies. Right after I came out of banking, my first few startups, I did e-commerce business, I did various mobile social media businesses, I joined a few startups. So I come from a kind of a very diverse background, but at the same time, I was very, very focused in technology. In 2015, for the first time in my life, I had an opportunity to move to Korea. So it was a very interesting experience for me to go back to my motherland and have the experience of actually joining a very early stage startup as a late founder. That company was called Daily Financial Group. Today, it is considered one of the largest fintech holdings company in the world, with about 25 companies under its corporate umbrella. It has a robo-advisory business, it has P2P lending business, and altogether, it is probably in today's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. One of the assets that I was responsible for was called CoinOne Cryptocurrency Exchange. We acquired that asset very early when it was a 5-member team. That's when I really got into Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology. So, I mean, growing up here in the Bay Area, you hear about cryptocurrencies and blockchain all the time. You know, honestly, same as everyone else, I disregarded, you know, this whole new industry. When I first heard of Bitcoin, I, you know, coming from a traditional, you know, finance background, I wasn't sure if it was anything valuable. But as I studied more through this cryptocurrency exchange, learning more about the technology behind it, that's when I, you know, woke up and started thinking about, you know, everything that I've learned through my business classes, the economy classes, about the central banking system, is all made up by people. I believe that we are in need of an upgrade from that traditional finance system, and I wanted to be a part of that. So I've convinced some of our executives team in Daily Financial Group to start a enterprise blockchain company. So CoinOne, cryptocurrency exchanges are, you know, what I call a value-added services. It's not really knee deep into the actual blockchain technology. It provides trading services, liquidity, and is very, very valuable. But, you know, I jumped to the other side of actually trying to build the blockchain technology. So, and that's really the hard part. So we actually struggled a lot with it early in the beginning. But, you know, I know I'm taking a long time to explain, but...
Hey, man, you got a lot of iconic information here, man. You got, you have a great track record. Obviously, you've done a lot of great things. And so sounds like you got bit by the bug and you decided to, you know,
Right.
dive into the blockchain arena rather than just, you know, having an exchange. You're like, hey, let's build the blockchain. This can't be that hard. Then you're like, ah, right. It kind of is.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, long story short, that's sort of the background. In 2017, about 2 years ago, we decided to not only work on the enterprise blockchain side, but also build a public blockchain business as well. It's funny that a lot of people call it a business, but we're actually trying to provide or open source software and create a different type of shared network. Yeah.
Awesome. So what's kind of like the biggest differences between, you said you went back to Korea in like 2015. So for people that haven't been there, that have only known the United States, what's some of the biggest differences you see? Maybe like, I guess we could talk about just, you know, life in general, but then also, you know, with blockchain, right? And maybe regulation and how the state views it. We saw, you know, the secretary treasurer, I guess the treasury secretary yesterday, you know, Mnuchin get up there and basically just validate all of us, you know, for being in Bitcoin. It's like, hey, Bitcoin got its own press conference, right? Is it kind of the same thing over in Korea, or is it a little bit more, you know, more open to it?
So I would say it's very interesting dynamics. I want to compare it to very similarly how we blockchain projects like to compare with each other. We try to, you know, in one sense, we're all pushing the greater blockchain industry. We sort of, you know, work together, whereas, you know, we see something interesting going on, we try to create something better or something faster. Same thing, I think, is happening in the regulation side, where when the U.S., you know, regulators announce something that gets the attention of the Korean government or the governments in the East, and those regulators get together and they try to feed off of that, I guess, energy, or feed off of that, you know,
ride the press wave.
Exactly. And they try to create something that fits their country as well. So I think the West and the East is, in a sense, very different. I think West is a lot more blunt about things that are happening. The U.S. secretary or the president coming out and talking about cryptocurrencies in front of the public is very fascinating. That would not really happen in the East. You see a lot of press media coverages where a lot of the decisions are happening behind the doors, behind the scenes. But, you know, in contrary to, I think, what you see in the Western media here, there's actually a lot of discussions and a lot of things happening that you don't hear about. And I think one of the big challenges is that a lot of the things that are happening in the West doesn't get funneled into the East, and a lot of the things that are happening in the East doesn't get funneled back to the West. So I think we need to do a better job in trying to bridge that gap and making information more available for everyone.
Gotcha. And then as far as just like living in Korea, I mean, how different is that from, you know, from San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, initially it was a big challenge, especially for me, the language. I had to study Korean when I first got there. I had a very difficult time writing emails to my partners. I had to use Google Translate every day to try to bridge that gap. But, you know, slowly but surely, I was able to, you know, learn. And now I'm actually quite fast when it comes to writing emails. So, I mean, that's just one example. But, I mean, culturally, just the working environment is very, very different. Being in the Silicon Valley here, you know, in San Francisco, you know, every company that I started is very, very different. every company or every people that I work with is very different. However, I think the culture here is very, very open. We are able to have a very blunt conversations of things that are working well, that doesn't work well. So I think here in Silicon Valley, being, you know, a lot of people having experienced a startup world, we're able to, you know, work together very efficiently. I think in Korea, a lot of people that I've worked with have very, very strong fundamentals, meaning they have very, very good training from large corporations. It took a little bit of time to work with these people and trying to get them adjusted to the startup speed. So I think that not only includes ICON, but also includes Daily and a lot of the other companies that I've advised. A lot of the things that happen in the conglomerate or corporate levels is just way too slow. It's very different how the culture is. I think the corporate culture kind of chokes you down into following the leader, whereas the startup space, you actually have a lot more collaboration. So trying to change a lot of that culture has been a big challenge, but we're making, you know, big steps towards that direction.
Awesome, man. And then, you know, through all the stuff that you've done over the years, right, you've created a lot of businesses, a lot of value. What's like maybe your biggest takeaway so far as to where you're at right now, something you could pass on to other people and say, hey, you know, it's awesome, it's a lot of fun, but here's what I learned and this will probably help you too.
Like I said, every company is very, very different and every founding partners that you work with is very, very different. So I think a lot of people like to kind of jump ahead and try to build a team very quickly and try to even get products out there that are not well developed. I think we had some of that issues, not only with ICON, but some of the Korean companies that I've also worked with. I think it's very important to be on the same page when it comes to hiring. I think building out a team is very, very challenging. It shouldn't be, I guess, you know, easily thought about. So, you know, I think it's like building a team, it takes a lot of time. So getting from a 5-person team to 10-person team is very, very difficult. Then it should be more difficult than getting from a 10-person team to a 50-person team, because you want that initial people of, you know, partners that you want to work with to have the same amount, you know, same vision, be on the same pace, same step. So I think that's been, you know, I think a lot of people overlook that important step.
Yeah, I think it was like what Lee Iacocca that said that, like, in the end, all business operations can be reduced to, like, I think three words, right? Like people, products, and profits. And without a good team, you can't do much with the other two, right? So yeah, I guess it all boils down to teamwork, right? So then, you know, as far as with ICON, so you've done a lot of iconic things in the past, and then you created ICON, you know, for people that, you know, have heard the name, but, you know, they're not really sure what it is, what it does. Can you kind of maybe explain to us, you know, what ICON has done, what it plans on doing, and maybe how it's different than, you know, maybe ARC or something else out there?
Yeah. So ICON is a project where we thought about trying to recreate what's happening in the physical world to a blockchain world. That meaning, you know, a lot of, for me as a founder, I've started many, many companies in different jurisdictions, and every jurisdiction has been painful in trying to hire people, work with the traditional banking systems. So for example, I'm here in San Francisco. We have a Swiss foundation, and then we have a team in Korea. We also have a few people in other parts of the world. And today's day and age, more and more companies are global from day one, meaning that we have different people working in different parts of the world, like you work in California in your own home. Like, we want to be able to work with people wherever they are. And in the traditional finance world, in a traditional rules of building a business, is very, very difficult. And we wanted to be able to change that. I think blockchain is one of the very fascinating technologies that could completely revolutionize how we organize, how we build companies. You know, we talk about self-sovereign ID or self-sovereignty. You know, I think that's a very, very interesting concept, because a lot of the companies today are digital. There's no inventory. People are working from around the world, and there's no real method or ways to bring that all together. And ICON, if you look into the white paper, you know, we talk about building what we call an icon republic, a new type of digital world or digital nation where what we call DAOs or digital native companies could easily launch companies, launch ideas, and try to experiment, you know, different products out there. Think about it today. Let's say I want to start a company. I need to go out there and I need to either hire a lawyer or use LegalZoom, put in some capital, bring together a team. We got to sign a bunch of documents to make sure everyone has the equal amount of or fair share of their, you know, shares for the company. And then that is just to get it registered. And then you need to spend hours going into a bank and convincing these banks that you need to, that we are doing business, explaining to them what kind of business we do just to get a bank account open. So it takes weeks or even months to get even an idea off the ground. And I think that's been the painful point for me. It's like we have so many great ideas and it's been very, very difficult. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of resources to get an idea launched. And I think blockchain could easily solve that by creating a much more efficient way to, you know, raise capital, to you know, tokenize your shares, to give it out to your founders, to, you know, not even have a bank account. You create, you know, you use something like Monarch to, you know, in replacement of a bank account so that you could get some, you know, test out your idea to see if there are people that's willing to pay for it. So that's the idea of a digital republic. That's the idea of Icon Republic. And our idea is that we want to build a system, make it easy and fair for thousands of digital native companies to build their business. And I think that's a very interesting concept that we want to explore even further.
I like it. And then you've also got interoperability, right? So you basically want your chain to be able to speak and interact with all the other chains out there too. That's another huge selling factor, right?
Exactly. And that is the end goal. And when we drafted our white paper, we didn't look at this as a 1 or 2 year project. We look at it as like, how do we see this evolving like later in the future? And I think we come to a realization that, you know, the Icon Republic or the blockchain that we're creating is going to be a standalone blockchain. But what's more important is how we operate and how we work with other blockchains or different types of blockchain. Similar to how, you know, there's about 200, you know, countries or nations in this world, in the physical world. You know, United States is just one country, and we work with, you know, all these other countries when it comes to trade, when it comes to, you know, traveling, and there's very, very, you know, various different ways we work with these different countries. It's going to be the same, we think, in the blockchain world, where there's going to be a lot of people who are building their business on top of the Icon platform, but we got to make sure that we need to put in the infrastructure so that we could, you know, do business with other blockchains that is not part of the Icon chain.
No, that's huge because you've got, you know, lots of people out there building blockchains and we don't really know which one's going to be, you know, successful or which one's going to be here tomorrow. But people, you know, that are actually working on creating a hub or interoperability to where it talks with all these other blockchains, I think that's, right, you know, a lot of value because, you know, hopefully all of them succeed, right? And then you're like with Icon, they can all talk to each other and everybody can use it. That'd be a great thing. You know, through this whole process, you know, what kind of struggles have you guys had? I mean, blockchain is hard. People don't really understand that, you know, until you're actually doing it and you're building it. There's a lot of things that come up that, you know, you really didn't see. You thought it'd be, you know, maybe go a little different. You know, what's some of the surprises along the way that you've had, you know, as to where you're at right now, just with Icon itself?
That's a very good question because, you know, after starting a bunch of companies, I thought, you know, when it comes to at least initiating or launching a company or an idea, I had a good grasp of how to grow this, like any type of entities. But I quickly realized a open source project, a blockchain project is a different beast. It's something that I would like to compare to where you're sort of doing a startup where you have a very, very small team. You're trying to raise capital by traveling around the world, convincing a lot of the venture funds or, you know, what you call blockchain hedge funds, and even do a IPO at the same time where you're trying to collect, raise capital from the public. And then you have to deal with a bunch of regulations, like more of a established corporate, you know, like more of an established company where you're spending a lot of money getting legal advice and working with lawyers. On top of that, you have to build an entire communications, a investor relations, you know, similar to investor relations team, just like a public company. So you're sort of combining every difficulty of doing a startup and every difficulty of running a publicly traded company. And you're trying to do all of this with a very, very small team. So you have to scale really quickly. You have to bring a lot of good talent very, very quickly. And I think people underestimate like all these type of challenges that, that kind of fall into place. So like for me, that's been the biggest challenge is we kind of look back within the past 2 years, we hired a lot of people very, very quickly because, you know, we needed to fill a lot of these needs. But it's very questionable how, you know, if we look back, like, should we have taken more time in hiring some of these people? Although we built a great team, you know, there were quite a bit of turnovers in terms of like, you know, we train people and they are not a good fit. And so we need to find another, you know, great teammate in order to try to fill that role. So, you know, trying to kind of grow from a small team to a larger team in this chaos of being a crypto project with all these, you know, I guess retail contributors or retail investors telling us what to do. Plus we have, you know, a blockchain, a new technology to build. You know, it's been a complete chaos, I have to say. But it took us a year to try to finally stabilize or normalize our operations. So I think we're in very, very good shape. But I think a lot of projects underestimate the challenge. And I think that's where a lot of the, you know, projects fail today.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at businesses in general, over 90% fail. It doesn't matter if they're blockchain or if they're a restaurant. There's a lot. I mean, there's so much that goes into building a business, especially when you're trying to build it right. And like you said, turnover with people. People don't understand, you know, it's kind of like the old fairy tale. You got to kiss a lot of frogs to find that prince, right? So, you know, you're going to have a lot of turnover as you're trying to scale and meet the demands and, you know, keep your investors happy, keep the public happy. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And then not to mention the actual tech, because that matters, right? So with your guys' tech, what can people use right now? And then what do you think they'll be able to use maybe by the end of the year?
I mean, we've been building and building and building over the past 2 years. We're finally at the stage where, you know, if you go into our community, everyone's getting very excited about the decentralization process. So we have what we call validators or what we call PREP candidates that are running. So we have about 50 PREP candidates right now, and 22 will be voted in to be full-time validators. And these validators are going to be responsible for running our entire ICON ecosystem. And what's very unique about our blockchain is that we've built a system that is, you know, that will have a greater on-chain governance than a lot of the other blockchains out there. Like, for example, transaction fees is something that will be voted by our community and that will be confirmed by our validators, and it will be automated so that these transaction fees are either lowered or increased, and this entire process will be fully automated. So like that's just one example of how we're automating a lot of the governance process into our blockchain. On top of that, like I mentioned, that we're trying to be a blockchain that is, you know, completely fair and completely, you know, very, very easy for that or DApp companies or different blockchain projects or businesses that are building on top of ICON. So we're introducing new type of features such as fees or new type of incentive mechanisms to bring that kind of all the pieces together. Just make it very, very easy for any founders or any entrepreneurs to start a project on top of ICON. And these type of, I think, new features, I think, is very, very attractive for these founders to try out our blockchain.
Awesome, man. So it sounds like you have a lot of cool stuff now and a lot of better stuff coming in the future. So more about yourself, man. What do you do to unplug? What do you do for fun? What kind of hobbies you got?
So it's a good question.
You can't be blockchain all the time. You have to, you know, take a break sometime, right?
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, I love my job. I love what I do every day. So it's been like that for the past 10 years. You know, ever since I left traditional finance, my world has been work and my life has been sort of combined. All my friends are work friends, working partners. I love to hang out with my partners and, you know, talk about personal things as well. So, you know, it overlaps, I think, more directly than I think a lot of other jobs. And I think my wife is the biggest complainers when it comes to this, because basically she complains that I don't come home because I have way too much fun at work. So with that said, I mean, other than that, I mean, I do a lot of things to unwind with my colleagues. So like tomorrow, for example, we're going paintballing up in the North Bay with our team. It's sort of, you know, a team building exercise, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun. You know, other than that, I mean, I spend a lot of time with, you know, with family on the weekends. So, you know, I'm getting older, our family's getting older. So, you know, I think, you know, as I get older, I realize how important, more and more important the family, you know, families are. So I try to spend more and more time with them. And it's like, it's been, you know, very relaxing just to be at home and just to hang out with my dad and my mom and talk about, you know, things that I've probably never talked about when I was back in college. So, yeah.
Yeah, family. That's why we do what we do. It's awesome that your business has become your passion and that's what you're doing. But at the end of the day, we still got to hang out with the family too, right?
Right. Yeah.
do you have any hidden talents or skills? Maybe you're a world class pianist. Maybe you're, I don't know. Maybe you're a ventriloquist or something. You know, what do you got for us?
No, I mean nothing. I'm honestly a very, very boring person. I mean, I'm just like a normal dude. I enjoy things that, you know, most people enjoy. I, you know, watch sports. I, you know, I love barbecue. I'm just a regular Joe. So nothing too interesting about me. I mean, other than that, I mean, like I said, I mean, I love launching ideas. I love trying new things out. So I always take on the challenge of learning something new or experiencing something new. I love like meeting people and like, asking them, hey, what do you do for fun? Like you, like the way you just asked me. And then I love to be introduced to their hobbies. And you know, I go fishing. I do hiking. So I do everything what other people do. I just like to experience life. That's pretty much it.
It's awesome, man. And then what's maybe your favorite book? Some kind of book that you read that, you know, maybe shaped your life or kind of opened your mind to things that you recommend other people should read as well?
I do think that, I mean, definitely I've read, you know, a bunch of other books, especially books that were recommended by, you know, a lot of the tech people here in Silicon Valley. Most recently, I think that's what sticks with me. I think one book that everyone should read is a book called Sapiens, because that book talks not only about evolution of, you know, of us humans, but conceptually we learn that the world that we built around us is, you know, just a figment of, you know, it's from our imagination. So the systems that we created, it doesn't matter if it's political, if it doesn't matter the sports that we play, it doesn't matter if, like, the traditional banking system, YouTube videos, you know, everything that we've created is from our imagination and our, you know, our goal of making that into a reality. So I think once people read books like Sapiens, they realize it opens their mind into, okay, you know, the traditional finance systems that we created, the traditional monetary systems that we created is very old. It's been built by people 50, 60, 100 years ago. That wanted, you know, that thought that system was the right for that time. But today's day and age, we live in a completely different world. You know, decades have passed. You know, we need an upgrade to our system. And I think people will realize, okay, you know, yeah, everything that we learn through our educational system is, could be, you know, could be wrong. It could be different. So I would highly advise people to read that book, because it just opens your mind into different possibilities and makes you look at your life in a very different way.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, I definitely agree with you, especially on the part where you said, you know, there's a lot of things that maybe they're teaching out there that are just wrong, you know. Kind of yeah. Like, you know, the earth is flat, that people believe for so many years, and some people still do today. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are learning the wrong things for sure. And if you were in charge of, I guess, the U.S. for the day, you know, what would you change, right? So say that you became president here in the U.S., what's something that you would change or put into effect? It could be silly. It could be anything that you want.
I mean, if I'm the president of the United States today, we would explore the possibility of, you know, using blockchain to run our financial system and redo the architecture or to redesign our entire monetary system and give that a go. There's been a lot of pushbacks, obviously, for the right reasons. You know, I think this is it. I think we're already moving towards, you know, technology replacing a very centralized system controlled by a few people, a few very greedy people. And I think more and more, as time goes more, we will prove out that, you know, the imaginations of collective imaginations of, you know, the public will eventually, I think, replace the system anyway. So I think it is, you know, if I was a president, I would wholeheartedly embrace the cryptocurrency space and try to learn about how to, you know, implement this the right way. And, you know, I think what the, you know, the yesterday's briefing by the Secretary of Treasury was very, you know, was very promising in my opinion. And hopefully we'll try to embrace it and try to explore how we could, you know, implement this new technology in the right way. And I hope that is a message that they sent yesterday. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. What I got out of it was he validated Bitcoin and said, as long as you use it properly,
exactly.
Go ahead. Right. I mean, a lot of people looked a lot deeper into it than that, but basically he just said, you know, if you're a criminal using it for nefarious activities, we're coming for you. If you're using it for speculation, you know, it's risky, but you know why you're doing it. So anyways, I thought it was great that Bitcoin's getting a press conference.
It's bringing a lot of, you know, attention to the public, one way or the other. I believe that even negative press, sometimes is good. It gets people talking about Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies. So, you know, I think it's a big win for the industry overall this past week. So let's see how it goes from here.
Indeed. Last question, man. If you had a time machine, you could go back in time or forward, you know, but you had to stay there. So you could go back in time to any time or go forward to any time, but you had to stay there. When would it be and why?
I definitely want to move forward. I love the way we've been working on things for the Icon project and how we're launching, you know, new features and we're, you know, our community is getting bigger. They're getting more excited. We're getting more partners into our ecosystem. You know, I really want to move forward 5 years from now and see, you know, how this ecosystem has developed. You know, everything is still in our minds of how things will come together. I want to see if it came out the way that, you know, we envisioned it. I mean, so far it's been very interesting. I think a lot has changed since we envisioned things 2 years ago. I think where our ecosystem and our technology, it's actually a lot more robust than we initially imagined it, because we brought in PhDs, we brought in a lot more smarter people than our original founding members to rethink the entire architecture of the Icon platform. So we actually have like built a beautiful system that in theory works, and we'll be able to test that in coming months to see how it all fits together and how it runs. But you know, push that forward another 5 years, you know, I'm very excited to see, like, you know, the actual companies and, you know, this whole ecosystem that we are building, how it works. So you know, I'm a little bit impatient, so I got to be more patient, but I'm very excited to see like where we will be in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I hear you. I know exactly what you're talking about. It'd be kind of cool to have that crystal ball, right? Just to at least see 5 years. And I don't know that I'd want to age 5 years, but I would definitely love to see where we're at in five. So very cool. Man, it was awesome, you know, hearing your story. I really appreciate everything you're doing for the community and just, you know, sharing your story here with us. So we'll make sure to get the links out and make sure people know how to find you, you know, how to find your project if they haven't already, all that kind of cool stuff. So God bless, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, great talking to you. Really appreciate the call.
Hey, welcome back, peeps. Big thanks to Min Kim. Appreciate you, buddy. Had a great time chatting with you. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. God bless. Catch you on the next one.